Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin B. on the board coming to you from our studio in rainy downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're going to do the good, the bad, and please make it go away. First, though, some breaking news this morning. New York appeals court slashing the amount of the bond that Donald Trump has to post to cover the $454 million civil fraud judgment. They have reduced the bond now to $175 million to stave off enforcement until the appeals process is finalized. The former president now has 10 days to post the bond. We'll see if he can find someone to loan him the money. He's been having a tough time.
Man, it's really
been
hard.
Having a tough time.
Hard to be Donald Trump. Just people just giving you no chances. And
yeah, no breaks at
no
all.
No breaks whatsoever.
Steve from Milwaukee texting in, listening here on WAUK. Why is the justice system so screwed up, especially with judgments on white-collar crimes? They should reform bankruptcy laws when rich people are punished.
Still waiting for rich people to be punished from 2008, but, you know.
That didn't happen either.
Nope.
Yeah, that didn't happen. All right. We're going to do a little bit more about the former president for the final break because he won a thing.
He won two things.
He won two things.
He won a two things.
Along with this reduction in the bond payment,
yep.
Which is kind of a win, if you ask me. All right. So the good, the bad, and oh, please make it go away. The good, congratulations to the Marquette Golden Eagles. Moving on in the NCAA tournament, they have made it to the Sweet 16. It's been a while.
It's been a few years, yeah.
Calvin, did you watch the game? I heard you and Earl talking about it a little bit earlier this morning.
I watched parts of it. I did not sit and watch the whole thing. I watched like 5 minutes of the first half, and I was like, oh, well, they're doing pretty good. And then I kind of...
Drifted away.
I really feel like we should get Calvin on color commentary for sports here at Civic Media. The Brewers are, yeah.
They're playing.
And then he walks away.
Marquette's next game is going to be Friday at 6:09. They are taking on the North Carolina State Wolfpack.
Nice. And big congratulations to the men's basketball team from Wisconsin.
Badgers unfortunately got knocked out Friday.
And huge congratulations, even though it's bittersweet, to the Badgers women's hockey team.
Yes.
Who unfortunately did lose to Ohio State in the NCAA championships. They made it all the way to the championships, and they had a great season.
They
were ranked really high and really lauded for all of their work. So congratulations to them. Bittersweet, of course, but... seriously, second place isn't the worst place to be.
Absolutely not. As you said, Ohio State defeated Wisconsin in hockey 1-0 in the Frozen Four in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Well done, ladies. That's very, very impressive.
Yeah.
And next year's a new season.
Exactly.
All right. That was the good, the bad. We haven't talked much at all about Boeing.
Yeah.
And that whole door plug popping off in the middle of the flight, and then they had to do an emergency landing, and then they discovered that, oh my gosh, I think we're missing a couple screws on several planes.
I mean, wow, that just, the way you took the, we're missing several screws, that works on different levels, on different planes, that works on different levels. It's almost as if Boeing's idea on what makes a plane work is falling apart.
Literally.
Boom!
Literally. Boeing CEO David Calhoun will step down from the plane maker at the end of the year after a series of mishaps. Yeah, those were some pretty big mishaps.
So your planes fall apart in the sky, and you get to keep your job through the rest of the year?
Right. Yeah, and he'll probably get a nice golden parachute on the way out, too.
I just made all the wrong moves. I should have gone to business school. I should have run for Congress. I can just, you are the president of Boeing and your planes don't work. You have one job to make sure those planes work and work good too. You've had like 100 years to perfect the technology.
But that's not the main job of the CEO of Boeing anymore.
What is it?
Make the stockholders money.
Well,
that's the main job.
Well, luckily he has another 9 months or 8 months to do that.
The FAA has put Boeing under intense scrutiny. I would hope so. And recently ordered an audit at assembly lines at a factory near Seattle. After that, Alaska Airlines 737 MAX suffered a door panel blowout on January 5th. Investigators say bolts that help keep the panel in place were missing after repair work at the Boeing factory, the incident raising all kinds of scrutiny since two crashes of those Boeing 737 MAX jets in 2018 and 2019 that killed almost 350 people.
You know, I don't like to go back to it over and over again, but as you know, I'm a huge fan of John Oliver. I know you like him too. He did an amazing episode. If you want to check out more and a deeper dive on it.
About Boeing
and just how bad it got and how bad it is. And I feel like after that first plane had a problem, slap on the wrist for the CEO. Second plane, see you later. You don't work for Boeing anymore. Instead, he gets to be here till the end of the year. It's just so ridiculous.
And again, talking about different justice systems, there certainly seem to be.
Absolutely.
This is an article from MSN talking about Boeing and the problems at Boeing. Under the influence of the stock market, Boeing changed its culture and moved further and further away from engineering,
yes,
which seems like kind of an important thing when you're talking about flying. It began 25 years ago after the takeover of Boeing by competitor McDonnell Douglas. Mm-hmm. That CEO, Harry Stonecipher, became Boeing's CEO and streamlined the company solely for profit.
Yep.
Expenditures for research and development decreased. Dividend and bonus payments went up. So they're sacrificing safety in order to pay their shareholders more.
So they have the money to put into R&D and safety and all that good stuff that literally now makes me afraid of flying. Like, I wasn't a big fan of flying to begin with, but this is just not good. Because you have two brand names in planes. That's it.
It's Boeing and
Lockheed Martin.
And
you divert those to your shareholders, to your CEOs, to all the people. You give all the money to them instead of, you know, sinking it into making sure the planes don't fall apart when it gets windy.
But this goes along the lines of what's happened with the rail industry.
Yeah.
And we've talked to our friend John Russell from Ohio.
Yes, indeed.
About the derailment in East Palestine, and the CEOs of these rail companies, too, are foregoing safety for profit.
I mean, it's everywhere too. Like, there's a big problem in trucking, running truck drivers until they're ragged and telling them to drink coffee and take pills, but get back on the road. It's all about profit now. It's not about safety. It's not about integrity. It's not about where this thing came from. Whether you're talking about trains or whether you're talking about planes or whether you're talking about, like, transportation has a rich history in this country of getting goods and services to other people. And they started either, you know, with a couple of guys or, you know, with a goal. And now it's just, no, we don't care about any of those things. The past is the past. We care about money. Make me money. I don't care if you have to destroy your body or ruin your career. Make me money.
But you have to wonder, and as you said, you don't like to fly. There's a whole bunch of people I know who don't like to fly, including one of my relatives.
Yeah.
I'm purposely not going to mention this to her because she's never going to get on another plane again.
I mean, I don't know how she's not going to see it.
Well, and then let's not forget about this little piece about Boeing. John Barnett worked at Boeing as an engineer for 32 years. He retired for health reasons in 2017. He was also a key witness against Boeing's management in court. He was found dead in the parking lot of a hotel March 9th. In between court appearances. While he was still alive, John Barnett reported that parts were deliberately installed that didn't meet safety standards, including parts that came from reject piles. According to his report, because of quality defects, it's even possible that every fourth oxygen mask may not work in an emergency.
It's almost to the point now where when you blow the whistle, you have to go mafia style into the witness protection program. And by the way, I did completely misspoke there. The two major commercial aircraft markets, because someone just texted and I thought, as soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong. It's Boeing and Airbus.
Airbus, okay.
It's those two. My apologies for just speaking out of turn there, but it's Boeing and Airbus. But yeah, these individuals who are going up against massive billion-dollar companies, you're going to have to hide them now because they're getting killed. They're getting bought off. They're being disappeared.
Well, the police are investigating the death of John Barnett. His lawyer speaks of an alleged self-inflicted injury. He says his death is tragic. So there's the inference that he committed suicide while he was testifying.
Why?
Yeah, I know. You have to wonder.
Why while doing something that would bring you comfort and ease and satisfaction with your life, like blowing the whistle on a horrible company, would you then say, you know what? It's all over for me. No, I don't buy that for a second. Not one moment.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you want to comment on this, I'm just curious about, my husband and I usually go away at the end of the summer, and yeah, we started looking for some flights. Now I want to check and see what plane it is. I've never checked that stuff before in my life.
It's all Boeing, and it's, you don't have a choice, really. At least in America, it's going to be all Boeing.
All Boeing.
Maybe Airbus, but Airbus is, there's a lot in Europe too. But yeah, you're not. And also, the thing is, are you going to get on Steve's plane?
Steve's Air.
Our planes work.
We have bolts.
Yeah.
And we use them.
We found the bolts.
All right. It's the good, the bad, and please make it stop. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're doing a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please make it stop. The announcement yesterday, was it yesterday or Friday?
About Boeing?
No, about Ronna McDaniel.
Oh.
Ronna McDaniel, the former head of the Republican National Committee, has been hired by NBC. This is not going over well with some of the folks at NBC.
Yeah.
Including Chuck Todd on Meet the Press yesterday. Kristen Welker had Ronna McDaniel on Meet the Press, and then Chuck Todd was on a panel later, essentially saying, this was a mistake. I don't know why we did this. And a lot of the issue appears to be her perpetuating of the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that they try to get the balance, if you will. Like, they, you know, you want to get, like, you don't want to be, no impropriety. You want to have, like, a balanced
discussion. You would like both sides,
but
right?
This is... I understand why they're upset, very upset about this.
Chuck Todd says there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, citing Ronna's prior gaslighting and character assassination when she ran the RNC. Welker and producers at Meet the Press knew in advance what Chuck Todd was going to say, but Now, there's a lot of speculation about how Rachel Maddow is going to hit this tonight and when she's live.
And also, too, just in case people are wondering who this person is, her maiden name is Romney.
Ronna Romney McDaniel.
Exactly. She is the niece of Mitt Romney. So you can see why they maybe hired her as well, too.
Well, but she stopped using Romney.
Yeah.
When Mitt Romney was running against Donald Trump mm-hmm. to be president.
Yeah.
And so then she had always used it. She had always used the Romney name for years and years and years and years until
it became a liability.
It became a liability for her politically.
Yeah.
So she dropped it like a hot potato. The other thing I'm seeing about this that is upsetting a lot of people, the rumor is that Ronna McDaniel is being paid $300,000 a year. NBC just got rid of a whole bunch, like 100 journalists.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing that so they can afford these bigger names now, because it's all about putting...
Well, what an insult.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? I have to imagine if you are a journalist of any sort that's not on television or of a high regard in print media, you're just used to being shoved to the side anyways. Like, you come out of journalism school with the intent of doing this thing, and next thing you know, you're writing lists for websites, and you just got to take any job you can get. So, I mean, it just seems like this is the way they're going now.
It's just such a morale killer, and we need journalists now more than ever. Mm-hmm. We really do, and we see these cuts happening all across the board in all these media companies and all these newspapers, and then to have something like this, she's getting $300,000 a year, and most journalists are probably lucky if they make $60,000.
Oh my God, that's
probably good. High. That sounds right?
Like, yeah, especially, and if you live in a city like New York or LA, good luck. That doesn't even cover.
You're sleeping in a box.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they're not paying her more for her status and her name and all the things. I would have thought they'd be paying her between $500,000 to $1 million a year. But I don't know. I don't know how those things work. It just seems like you throw money at it to get what you want. And, you know, I know that, like you said, Chuck Todd was very upset about this and didn't hold back.
And I was not that big of a fan of Chuck Todd when he was doing Meet the Press either, quite frankly. Some argue that McDaniel has no juice with the anti-Trump wing of the party. Again, she removed Romney from her name. Nikki Haley voters think Romney put her thumb on the scales for Trump during the primaries. McDaniel is not especially close to GOP leaders in Congress. And if the point is to give NBC viewers more insight into Trump world, then why turn to the person who just got ousted by Donald Trump from the RNC so he could replace her with his daughter-in-law?
Yeah.
To then channel all the money of the RNC to her father-in-law to help pay his bills. The Trump campaign, according to Politico, quietly celebrating Chuck Todd's evisceration of McDaniel yesterday, asked for comment. A top Trump official said, "Of course, I want to gloat online. I just don't think my doing so moves any votes our way. It's this whole disciplined campaign thing."
A subtle raise of the eyebrow. You know, if we were watching a movie and this was this is the implosion of the GOP or the bad guys or whatever you want to call them. But for some reason, I mean, they just keep getting chances. They keep on sticking around. Failing upwards on a trashy Boeing plane straight up in the sky. It's just mind-boggling.
We should attempt to be more successful failures, Greg Bach.
I have been trying for nearly 47 years now.
It just hasn't kicked in for you yet.
No, it hasn't.
It just hasn't kicked in for you yet.
I cut my hair and go to an Ivy League school. You know, my dad should have been better, too. He should have been more upward mobile as well, so I could traipse upon the backs of others on his name.
Yep.
And he builds me a building so I can get into Harvard.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
We're talking about NBC's hiring of Ronna McDaniel, who used to be the head of the Republican National Committee, as a commentator. Not everyone is happy. It will be interesting to see, again, as some of the more personality-driven shows take over at night tonight, how some of these hosts are going to cover this and get their reactions.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stay up for Maddow just to see that because I think she'll be great.
The cafeteria or the coffee room is gonna be real weird because she's gonna be walking around being, hey everybody, like, hi,
Rana.
Yeah, Rana.
Rana.
That's not even a name.
I think they should force her to put Romney back in her name. Rana Romney McDaniels.
It's a hard name.
I keep on trying to say that for years and years.
I keep on trying to say that name. It's very difficult. Rana Romney McDaniels. And her name is Rana. That's her birth name, Rana. I'm sorry. I don't mean making fun of her. I've just never heard that name. It's like the mom and the dad were like, I got one name. I got another. What do you, and you say the same time. And you're like, one, two, three, Rana Donna. And they're like, well, let's put it together.
You might be onto something.
Yeah.
Then again, maybe not.
Probably not at all. I just, I'm baffled by these individuals. I truly am.
News is coming up next. And when we return, we have an update on the California guy running against Tammy Baldwin. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shining on my soul as I untie the cord and untwist the knot. We can get where we're going if I could just make it stop. If I could just make it stop, I could tell the whole world.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in rainy downtown Waukesha. Wherever you are listening around the states, you can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a little California guy updates, Eric Hovde, running against U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin in November. And a big shout out to Pat Kreitlow and Up North News. You should check it out, upnorthnewswi.com, for this article looking back at some things that Eric Hovde has talked about in the past. Now, most recently, he had talked about getting rid of alcohol. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That goes back as well. According to Up North News, back in 2012, Greg Bach, when he was first running.
Oh, the good old days.
A 36-minute interview with Wisconsin Eye. Eric Hovde talked about his belief that the workers of days gone by, farmers included, worked harder and faced more hazards. According to Eric Hovde, in 2012, we don't engage in hard labor like we did. We don't have as many accidents on the job, most of us. Think of farming. Look at the old physical toll that it would take on the body. Now you're largely driving around a tractor, unquote. Any farmers listening who would like to chime in on how easy and safe things are around working on the farm, I think you would have a different opinion than Mr. Hovde.
Yeah, I mean,
you're just driving around on a tractor all day, living a life of ease.
At the very least, Derek Van Orden, are you listening? You are a champion of the farmers, as you've told us. Does this... generalization upset you? Let us know. We'd love to hear.
He has to be in the state to actually do that.
He's probably yelling at a kid
somewhere. Hovde referenced the increase in the average life expectancy as a reason to boost the retirement age to preserve Social Security and Medicare programs he refers to as entitlements. That makes me crazy. That makes me crazy that a certain segment of our politicians like to couch this as we are getting something we did not earn because we feel entitled to it. when all of us have all paid in since we've been working. And yes, we are entitled to that money.
Yeah. It's my investment.
Hovde believes that benefits absolutely need to be trimmed. And Calvin, how do you feel about this? He's proposing a retirement age of 72 for workers in their 20s before you would be qualified for retiree benefits.
Well, wow, that is, I don't even have a response. 72, that is.
72. He wants you to work till you're 72.
You got some years left, Calvin.
And I have bad news for folks. I hate to be the killer of joy.
No, you don't. You love being the killer of joy.
Okay, sometimes.
You have a t-shirt.
The golden years are not all they're cracked up to be.
Yeah.
It's tragic, but I think it's true. And as we get older and we get sicker, and I know we have people who listen who are in great shape and still very active, and that's wonderful, and I think that's fabulous. Not everybody follows that path.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to live that path.
And even if you do have a healthy regimen, there's no guarantees.
No, there isn't for anything. I have a former classmate of mine who retired at 62 and he died the following year.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, and I'm going to try to, I will make this connect for you, Jane. There, it can be said that, you know, Social Security recipients are of a certain age. They are considered by a standard elderly. They're older. A lot of them vote for Republicans for decades.
Yes.
I'm taking out of the equation the rich ones, the ones who can pay their yearly benefit off in one paycheck and all that stuff. I'm talking about our moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, the hard workers who did the American dream. Got the house, got the fence, got the kids, put them through school, retired, shake a hand, get a gold watch, and then you get to live your golden years. Doing all that stuff. They still vote for people who say, we need to get rid of this. We need to trim this. It is an entitlement. They still vote for individuals who treat this like a bargaining chip in the election process.
Yeah.
And during big fights over bills, usually spending bills, we got to cut Social Security. Why do we need to? This should be a self-sustaining program because we're constantly paying into it. I've been paying into it since I was 12. Calvin, I think I heard you say to Earl earlier today, you've been paying into it since you were 16.
Yep.
And to my knowledge, that's an investment. It's not an entitlement. And I'm waiting to get that money back. And I've said it before and I will say it again. If I get to the point where I can put in my papers to get my money back and they say, sorry, it's gone, I'll be like, who am I suing? Because I gave you my money and you wasted it. I gave it to you in good faith. And then you let these millionaires and billionaires on Capitol Hill play with it, that gamble on it and lose it.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, if you would like to join us. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. How you doing?
He's back.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, first of all, it just absolutely angers me, the distortion of the term entitlement.
Yes,
yes.
That our Republican so-called friends use. An entitlement is something to which you are entitled, that is, you have earned it, and it should be yours by that standard. And that's exactly what Social Security and Medicare are, as has been pointed out. I started paying into these funds when I was 16 years old as well. And when I retired at 70, after 40-plus years of teaching, I would sort of expect to get some of that, and that's an investment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's also in terms of Medicare, it's also a down payment on our premiums for our retirement health insurance. That's exactly what Medicare is, and it's pretty good insurance, actually. It's probably better than the insurance that when I stopped teaching, better than the insurance that I actually had at that time.
Oh, wow.
A number of reasons. Well, you know, you may think that, okay, you know, the insurance, Medicare picks up 80%, we have to pay 20%. But here's the trick. Medicare is the largest insurer in the country, I believe, and they negotiate rates. And so my 20% is generally totals for a year less than what I was paying out for my deductibles and co-pays when I previously had insurance, because those negotiated rates can be as little as maybe a third, not a third off, but one third total of what the advertised charges are in for a hospital or for a doctor's, particularly for a doctor's visit. It's a significant difference there.
Well, and now, so, Jack, they're talking, they want to privatize Medicare.
Oh, of course. They're trying to do it already. It's called Medicare Medicare Advantage.
Oh, Jack.
Oh, no.
Saw what you did there, buddy.
You were right the first time there, Jack. I think you were right the first time. And we talked to someone about that on the show, too, when all those ads were going around. Yeah. You want to go to Medicare. That's who you want to deal
Medicare,
with.
Medicare, yep.
Go to Medicare. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate you chiming in with us. Always good to hear from you. You can join us, too, at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, talking about California guy Eric Hovde and some comments he made when he was running for election in 2012. And this is courtesy of our friends, from our friends at Up North News, including Pat Kreitlow. Back in 2012, he reiterated his view that the Affordable Care Act should be completely repealed.
Well, it should be repealed and replaced with something beautiful.
Oh, something beautiful and perfect.
And perfect.
And wonderful.
In 2 weeks.
Or more.
We'll see.
Yeah, right.
He's been a little busy right now, that guy.
Hovde also blamed some Americans for their own health issues like obesity and suggested overweight people should pay more for their health insurance.
I mean, don't we, though? Like, if we go into the doctor and I get weighed, like, they, when we sign up for a health insurance package, I have to go through a general physical. I have to tell them how much I weigh, how old I am, my height. Do I smoke? Do I do this? Do I do that?
Right.
All these things.
Right.
And then they base their risk off of my answer. So I am paying more. But also, Eric Hovde, I am willing to admit that my obesity is absolutely because of my doing. You've seen me at a buffet, but my point is, already happens, buddy. And just because you can pay anything you want for healthcare doesn't mean you should be telling me what I should be doing with mine.
Melanie Jay, an associate professor of medicine at NYU and the director of a project on obesity research, said Eric Hovde's views shows either you're not understanding or you're really discriminating against people who have a chronic disease. It's assuming that obesity is some sort of moral failing that people need to be punished for. That's not true. It's a pretty awful and dangerous thing to say.
We could talk about that for a whole show.
Absolutely. Also, taking a trip down memory lane, courtesy of Up North News, when Eric Hovde was back in Wisconsin in 2012 running for office, he was asked, you're a first-time candidate. If you don't win the primary, do you plan to run for public office again? No.
Which?
Hovde replied, no. I'm doing this for a very simple reason. I know my economic skills and my background is something that is desperately needed in the United States Senate right now. I don't plan to spend the rest of my life in politics.
That's so funny to me because, one, I think we should call this segment The Internet Never Forgets, but also just the notion that I'm running for Senate. I want to do good for the state. I'm Eric Hovde, and I was born here and then no longer here. But what's going to happen if you lose? I'm going home. Bye.
And he did.
Yeah.
He lost to Tommy Thompson at that point. And look, now he's back.
Whoa.
Now he's back.
Maybe
because he still has these valuable business skills that can be applied, Greg Bach.
Did anyone ever think to check under the mustache? Maybe it's not him.
He also referred to the number of children in America that are born out of wedlock. Eric Hovde said in 2012, that's a direct path to a life of poverty. I think we got to get our morals and our ethics back. And I think we got to, you know, get this country turned around. We have to stop government policies that reward those having children out of wedlock and harming people that are having children in marriage.
What?
I'm not sure how people in marriage with children are being harmed.
Hey, Eric Brovdy, show your work, my dude. What are you talking about?
Well, and speaking of showing his work, because he shows up on my Twitter feed all the time.
Gross.
He doesn't have any policies.
No.
It's all platitudes.
Yes.
It's all vague generalities, some little barbed comments about Senator Baldwin agreeing with the President Biden's agenda. But he hasn't said, I will implement X.
Yeah.
If I am elected, I am going to do X in order to make things better for the people of Wisconsin. There's nothing. He's got nothing.
No, and he never. And he's going to spend the next few months just trying to convince us that he belongs here. And it's not working. I don't care who you put in front of the camera. You, your wife, axe throwing, ice jumping, whatever. You don't belong here, and that's fine. Go back to California. Run for California Senate.
Seriously.
Do something there.
Seriously.
And I'm not even being a jerk about it. You've lived there for a long time. You have invested interest. You don't care about us. You don't. And to say that Tammy Baldwin doesn't get things done, you know it's a lie.
Eric Hovde, thanks but no thanks. Here's a Kringle.
Yeah, baby.
Go away. All right. Stay with us when we return. Hey, Donald won. Some things.
Good job.
All the details coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream wherever you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon is in the process of destroying. We were talking about California guy Eric Hovde running against Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, and an article in Up North News going back to when he ran in Wisconsin in 2012 and things he said then. And not a surprise, he still wants to get rid of Social Security and Medicare, all kinds of, you know, the party line pretty much.
Yeah.
Mark from Prairie du Sac has been waiting on the line. Thanks for your patience, Mark. What did you want to say?
Oh, no thanks. Not a lot of patience, but it is... ironic. I wonder if he's even spent 183 days in the state for any years, you know, subsequent to 2012. If he spent that amount of time, you know, over half a year in the state, to qualify as even citizen of the state of Wisconsin. I mean, just because he owns property, he might own property here, doesn't make him a citizen of Wisconsin. I own property up in the far northwest corner of the state. That doesn't make me eligible to vote, you know, in Tom Tiffany's district. I mean, It just is. The man attacking our earned benefits is just galling to me. That because I've been paying, you know, into Social Security since I was 16 years old. I mean, that it is just or had been until I retired, and that now collecting Social Security, and that's great. I mean, that is an earned benefit, and that for a man who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and that and here, you know, he got a start in life through his inheritance, and now he's a big banker out in California. Like you said, he can just spend his time out in California in the California sun, in Orange County, where apparently he's lauded out there.
Yeah,
leading citizen.
Yep, they love him out there, right? Right, but right, Mark. I don't know why you wouldn't. They love you so much. You'd like businessman of the year 3 years in a row. You'd think you do pretty well out there. Thank you so much, Mark. Always appreciate you checking in. We had a texter listening in Madison on WMDX. My dad paid into Social Security his whole life and didn't even get to enjoy his SS because he died of cancer at 62 due to no health care. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yep. It's, yeah.
Bill from Oconomowoc joining us. Good morning, Bill. What's happening?
I don't know if you've heard, but Trump got his, he plea bargained down his bond.
Yep.
And it's like, I guess, 175. Now, that's going to set a precedent for all criminals. They don't have to post bond at what they say because they can just create a victim and say, well, I can't afford that. Give me something I might be able to afford. It's going to really be interesting as history is written about Trump. But in closing, I'd like to leave you with this. The state of Wisconsin ought to have a voluntarily a citizens accountability board. And all these issues that come up, they would give their thoughts on, like, this Eric Hovde, some guy from California thinks he's going to run here. And by the way, Mark and the Sack, I'll tell you, vote, run against Tom Tiffany. They get away with it. I'll back you. run against them. They get away with it. We can get away with it, Mark. You've got such good insights. But just think of the concept of a citizens volunteer accountability board. I would love to see it in our state, and I'd say it ought to be 3 and 3, 6 people, 6 Democrats and 6 Republicans. I'll hang up and listen for your thoughts.
Thank you so much, Bill. I love that idea. I think that's a great idea. Unfortunately, that would never fly because it would actually enforce accountability, and there are people who don't want that. And I think you make a hilarious point about just because Mark from Prairie du Sac doesn't live in Tiffany's district, he's got property there. We know the Josh Hawley doesn't live where he's elected from. We know Tommy Tuberville doesn't live in Alabama. He lives in Florida. I mean, give it a shot. What would it hurt? All right, we only have a couple of minutes. We got to get to this. We're not gonna get it covered. Donald Trump won some things.
Yeah,
he posted on his social media network. It is my great honor to be at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach tonight. Awards night to receive all caps, the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy. I won both.
For the 28th year in a row.
Yeah, well done, Donald.
Yeah.
Kind of piggybacking along with that golf trophy. Have you heard of this book? It's called Commander in Cheat, How Golf Explains Trump. Written by a guy called Rick Riley. This is at least 5 years old.
Yeah.
This book. Commander in Cheat by Rick Riley. I am not a golfer, but I've heard other people say this. I used to have this coach who told us, according to Rick Riley, how you do one thing is how you do everything. If you loaf in practice, you're going to loaf in the game. If you cheat on your tests, you're going to cheat on your wife. I have found this to be true with golf. The guy who plays slowly on the course is going to be molasses in meetings. The guy who is generous with compliments on the course will do the same at dinner. The guy who cheats on the golf course is going to cheat in business, on his taxes, and in politics.
And I just want to give a shout out to President Biden for recognizing the achievements of one Donald Trump. And that is by taking a screenshot of the, I guess you'd call it a truth on Truth Social.
Yeah.
And just saying, congratulations, Donald. It's quite an achievement. Dark Brandon will not be contained.
According to this book, Commander in Cheat, Trump doesn't just cheat at golf. He cheats like a three-card Monty dealer. He lies about his lies. He fudges and foozles and fluffs. At this course where Trump is a member, the caddies got so used to seeing him kick the ball back onto the fairway, they started his nickname of Pele.
What else are they calling him? What did you say they were calling him on Twitter this weekend?
Oh, Don Corleone. Although, as it was mentioned, as Bill just pointed out, yeah, he got that reduced from $454 million to like $175 million. So I guess it's still working for him. All right. Thank you so very much, Greg and Calvin. Without you, the show does not run. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, for calling and texting. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.